church. Well, good morning. There we go. Hello. We are glad that you are with us this Epiphany Sunday to celebrate the light of Christ in our lives and this world. And whether you have been here at Gates Presbyterian Church your whole life or this is your first time, we are glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. A few ways that you can learn more about GPC is to check out the ways that we are churched together. Your bulletin is full of announcements and calendars. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you, or there will be an elder standing at the communion table following worship this morning. And as we get started in this new year, of course, we have a lot going on. So a few announcements this morning. First, this is a communion Sunday, and if you will recall our adventures with trying to be as inclusive as possible with the Holy Meal, we are now offering gluten-free wafers that are located in little bags. As the bread is being passed, you'll see them in there. So if you are in need of gluten-free communion, that is available. Also, a reminder that because of the new year, all church committee night, also known as mega meeting, was pushed back to this coming Tuesday. So all are welcome. At 7 o'clock, we start here in the sanctuary. We have new officers who are coming onto those committees. So this is a great time. If you were thinking about learning more about the ways that you can serve, come check out some of the work of those committees this Tuesday at 7 o'clock. And also, please make sure you note in your calendars if you are an officer being installed or ordained. That will be taking place next Sunday during worship as we celebrate Baptism of Our Lord Sunday. A few other announcements. We'll start here with the Dykes. Are you doing something together?
No.
No, okay.
Not this thing. The handhelds are working, by the way, just so you know. Again, this year, we're going to have a hockey game, the Amherst hockey game that we did last year. Todd Pym and I are organizing that. That's going to be February 17th, right after church, but it's 3:05 after church, so you can go get a bite to eat, come back, whatever, to go to the game. Again, they're $12 a ticket, which is great because they discounted it for us. For some reason, they raised their prices. I don't know. But you can sign up every Sunday after worship until the 10th, February 10th, which is the Sunday before. Thanks.
And I'll be in this fellowship hall with the tickets. Or signing people up, not with the tickets. Two quick announcements. One is there's still about 20 tickets left for the Big Bang Theory journey. We have about 50 people who have signed up and will be going. So if you want to get a ticket, I will be in Fellowship Hall with AMERC sign-ups and Big Bang Journey tickets. Also, for the Bell Choir members, the bells are still undergoing physical therapy, so there will be no Bell Choir this coming Wednesday.
I think we all need to pray for the bells. I am here to bring your attention, the attention to the insert in the bulletin about the grand annual reopening of the Blue Mountain Coffee House. If you have never attended the coffee house, it's a fantastic evening with wonderful coffees, desserts, entertainment that you cannot see anywhere else. An opportunity to sign up to bring a dessert to perform. Now, this doesn't necessarily have to mean you have tons of talent. You can just get up and perform. We need performers. We need desserts. We need help on Friday evening at 6:30 to set up the coffee house so it's ready for the opening. And we need help immediately after the coffee house to sadly put it all away again. I'm a little embarrassed to admit that I forgot to bring the tickets this morning, but I will be down in the fellowship hall if you want to sign up, and I will get a ticket to you. Again, all of these proceeds, as it says in the insert, go this year to help with the building of the Green Island Basic School, seeing as we don't have a Jamaica team of high school seniors going this year. That group went last year. However, our two seniors will be emceeing the show, and you don't want to miss it. Come one, come all. P.S. Sign up is on the kiosk.
Good morning. The Public Worship Committee invites anybody who is interested or has some able hands to help us undeck the halls after church this morning. Thank you.
Junior and senior highs, we have so much fun this afternoon planned for you. So our youth group today will be from 12:15 to 3:15. Be there.
So many great things going on in the life of this congregation. Now, friends, let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our whole entire selves to worship God.
Stand as able for the call to worship. Arise, a shining light has led us far.
We have found the
Ancient songs have strengthened our spirits.
We have seen the child of peace.
A gift of new life has dispelled our fears.
We have held the child of joy.
The cradle of straw has found our hearts.
We shall journey with this child of love.
As we gather to seek the light of Christ in our lives, we remember that we live in darkness, seeking this light to shine. Let us bring our darkness, our sins, our confessions to God. Merciful God, you have given light to the world in Jesus Christ, but we have preferred to live in darkness. Your justice protects the weak and distressed, yet we seek the shelter of privilege and power. Your righteousness redeems the poor and the needy, yet we seek the status of wealth and possessions. Your peace upholds the oppressed and the defenseless, yet we seek the security of weapons and retribution. Forgive us our sins and lead us to true repentance, that we may trust you in all things. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. This is the good news. Christ is the light of the world who grants forgiveness and healing of our sins. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite the children forward. Take one more peek in the manger. Jesus is there. Jesus is still there. So let's go over here now. So I have a story. I think I'm going to sit here. Because there are lots of light and candles here. Today is one of the celebration days in the church. Does anybody know what it's called? Epiphany. That's exactly right. Excellent. And on Epiphany, the wise men visited Jesus. I have a story to read to you today
about their visit. It's called. Now, we've talked a lot about what? We've talked a lot about Jesus, but we've also talked a lot about what?
Straw.
That's right. Straw. Well, this story is called The Last Straw. And it helps us use our imagination a little bit about what it might have been like, the wise men's journey. Ashmakakakak, the old camel, was asleep in the desert night. He dreamed of all the water in the world in a hump that would hold an entire sea. Hearing voices, Ashmakakakak, open one eye. Ashmakakakak, Ashmakakakak, reluctantly, Ashmakakakak, open the other eye. Why should I wake up? He grumbled. Sand whirled up into the moonlight sky. You have been chosen, the voice whispered. Sand seemed to shift again. You will carry gifts to a baby king. Who are you? Ashmakakakak wanted to know, for he was an old camel. And he felt he had earned his sleep. You will carry frankincense, myrrh, and gold. The wise men have chosen you. Ashmakakakak got up very slowly. Why me? If these men are so wise, don't they know about my joints, my gout, my aching back? What did you say I'm to carry? And how much will it weigh? Besides, I have other commitments. There's a water drinking competition. And then I really must go to the cud chewing convention. The sand blew, cutting into the black night. Ashmakakakak was startled and decided he had better do as the voices said. Who knew what made the sand move like creatures with great wings? When do I start? He said carefully. Today. The sand voices disappeared, and it was morning. Still early, as the servants of the wise men placed the precious gifts upon the camel's back, the young camels ran to their good friend. They all looked up to him because he was old, and they thought he was wise. You must be a very special camel, they said. I am very special. I'm also sometimes a little foolish. But I'm not so old. I'm still as strong as 10 horses, and I've been chosen to carry rich gifts to the new baby king. Can we come too? Said the youngest camel, who never wanted to be left behind. Aren't we your friends? You can walk beside me, Ashmakakakak replied in the most regal voice, and the long journey began. And soon he met some goats. Oh, old camel, the goat said, please carry our milk to the new king. Oh, the camel said, how heavy is it? But then he finally said, okay, I'll carry your milk. Then he met some millers, and they said, oh, camel, we have a gift for the new king. Will you carry our corn? Really, the camel said, don't you think I have enough to carry? Oh, please, so the camel said, okay. Well, then some women came to the camel, and they said, will you carry our silk cloth to the new king? Camel, well, all right, I can do that. That's not so heavy. Well, then a merchant came. He wanted Ashmakakakak to carry some pillars of oak. Oh, goodness. poor old camel is really loaded down. Finally, the sun went down, and the crowds melted into the coming night. And Ashmakukka gratefully sank into the sand. In the Khan darkness, he didn't have to pretend that he was so strong and worthy. Ashmakukka became aware that it didn't seem as dark as usual. He looked up and saw the splendor of the skies and the special brightness of the star he had been following. He fell asleep wondering about the sand voices and the wings he thought he could almost see. But as the sun rose over the desert hills, it was hard to remember the wonder of that star. And the new day brought new pains and new burdens, and I don't think I can make it. I can't carry anymore. My legs are getting so weak. Oh, my gout, my aching back, my joints. I'm too loaded down. Word of the caravan spread, and soon the desert was filled with people saying, "Take this, please take this to the new king." But then the youngest camel cried out, "Look, look, there's..." What do you think that is? Bethlehem, you're right. There's Bethlehem. You've made it, old camel. You're as strong as 10 horses. Makasaka knew he could just do it if he did not stop until he arrived at the spot beneath the star. He could. He knew he could do it. And just then, out of the growing darkness, a small voice said, "I am the old camel looked down, tiny child. "Please, child, no more gifts. It has no weight. It's long and light. It's for the king who is born this night." "It's little," the child said.
"Too little is still too much."
"Didn't I hear them say you are as strong as 10 horses?" asked the child.
"Well, yes, I am, sorta. But my joints, my gout, my aching back."
Ashmakukka looked into the child's eyes, and his heart melted. "Yes, child, give it to me. It's smaller than small gift. What harm can it be?" It's for his bed. "It's all I have," said the child. "No problem at all." All this time, Ashmakukka had kept walking because he knew if he stopped, he could not start again. And now he could see that the star shone upon a lowly stable. "Child, do it now. Place that straw upon my back as I approach the new king." Ashmakukka entered the stable. "My knees are loosening. My legs, they wobble. My back is breaking. All this last fall has caused me to fall." With that, Ashmakukka fell to his knees. "Oh my," he thought, "this is no way for a camel to behave. They will say that I'm weak and that I shouldn't have traveled this far." The wise men noticed Ashmakukka, and quickly they too knelt. Then, from the humble manger, a tiny hand reached out and touched Ashmakukka. His pain seemed to disappear. He could no longer feel his burden. And Ashmakukka whispered to the baby, "Hosanna, Hosanna from Ashmakukka. Accept these gifts kindly. They come from far and wide, brought by a beast who once acted blindly." From that time on, there was no burden, great or small, that Ashmakukka could not gladly carry.
Why? Because who had touched his leg? Jesus, that's exactly right. Because Jesus helps us carry our burdens and our heavy loads. So let's have a prayer. Oh, Jesus, thank you for helping us. When we feel burdened down, when we feel sad, when we feel tired, we know your light will help us. Amen. All right, you all were good listeners. You can go to your class.
First reading today is from Isaiah chapter 60. And arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all from the Sheba, shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord.
friends, as Christians in America, the season of Epiphany only seems to receive a minor amount of attention in comparison to Christmas, right? Consumers spend 3 months getting ready for the holiday extravaganza, and we gather week by week as people of faith until all four of the Advent candles are lit, and on Christmas Eve, we get to sing, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come." And then, as if everything about Christmas ends after we sing Silent Night and we blow out those candles, we're in quite a hurry to put Christmas away. It's not unusual to see a curbside graveyard of Christmas trees by mid-afternoon on December 26th, and the twinkling lights boxed up in the dark corners of our basements and attics. So I have to admit that I'm a little jealous of Christians in other parts of the world that make Epiphany such a big deal. There are parties and parades, and I love the tradition in Spain where Santa Claus really isn't a big deal. It's Epiphany Eve that the kids take straw and put it in their shoes, and they leave it on balconies or outside of doorways to feed the camels of the three kings. And then the next day, they find all the sweets and gifts in their plates. Perhaps we need a few camels. We should lure them in to come snack on all the straw that is all around the sanctuary. Otherwise, it might keep falling out of our hymnals until Easter. But maybe that's just the reminder we need for us to continue our celebrations of God's light and love revealed in the world through the birth of Jesus Christ. This morning, as we hear the familiar story again of these star-gazing men from the east, their animals, and their extravagant gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, there is an element of this story that causes me to pause, to wonder, where is it that we see ourselves in this story? And how might we experience it from a different perspective? From the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go, search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so I also can go and pay him homage.' When they heard that the king
they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. So as you were thinking about where you might see yourself in this text, I have no doubt that many of us imagined ourselves traveling with the Magi. Perhaps this is because so many sermons have preached about how we might be like the Magi on our own spiritual journey, searching for the light of God's presence, guiding us here in the darkness of the world. That the joy we experience in discovering the gifts we can bring to a life and a community of faith. And of course, there are the sermons of the radically different paths that we might be called to as we discover time and time again what it means when we shine as Christ's light in the world. And these are all faithful sermons. You've heard them. I've preached them. But not everyone in this story follows the star of wonder, the star of night, the star with royal beauty bright, as the hymn describes. When the Magi mistakenly seek the child who is born the king of the Jews in Herod's palace, they encounter the first of what will become a family lineage of terror and darkness. The text doesn't clarify this for us, but Herod, in this story, is actually Herod the Great, the first of five men who named Herod, then his two sons and two of his grandsons who will rule. The second one is the one you may have heard of who beheads John the Baptist when John rebukes him for his affair with his brother's wife. But his father is equally violent. The Roman Senate had declared Herod the Great as king of the Jews. And presumably, Herod likes his job. He's ruled for more than 30 years when the Magi enter his life with their almost taunting question: where is the child that is born king of the Jews? Needless to say, Herod does not follow the light. But he doesn't dismiss it either. He sees that light shining, and he chooses the darkness of his own fear. While I assume none of us are going to readily admit to identifying with King Herod, I challenge us to pause for a moment here in verse 3 with the words, "When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him." Matthew is doing a bit of foreshadowing here for us of the crowds in the very same town who will some 30 years later yell, "Crucify him." But at this point in the story, in chapter 2, I wonder why. Why is all of Jerusalem afraid with Herod?
Being afraid of Herod makes sense. After all these years, people are more than well aware of what this unstable and terrible ruler is capable of. Of course, true to their expectations, we know that after the Magi visit, Herod immediately seeks his own end and sets his fear in motion through a terrible genocide of all the male children younger than 2 in and around Bethlehem. Matthew tells us that the women were inconsolable, of course, but this just wasn't the loss of their sons, which would have been enough, but the reminder that they were under the absolute control of a violent king whose only goal was the maintenance of his own power by any means necessary. So being afraid of Herod makes all the sense in the world. But why were the people of Jerusalem afraid with him? These are the people who have been waiting for God's promised Messiah for generations, and the fulfillment of God's promises to Israel, as heard throughout Scripture, is realized. The promise that here, in the darkest of darkness, God's glory is shining. Why is it that all of Jerusalem sees the light shining and chooses the darkness of fear that is pervasive in the world around them? Fear is one of those emotions that wash over us in the midst of uncertainty and our perceived lack of control that we have on our lives. This basic life experience is what Herod and the people of Jerusalem shared as they learned the Messiah had come. For Herod, it meant that his power was being threatened, and his response was to eliminate the threat. The people of Jerusalem did not immediately choose such an extreme, but the fear was there. This basic life experience is one we all know all too well. Rather than experiencing the light of God's hope for our lives, we too turn to the fear that dominates many of the choices that we make. Take, for instance, this time of year. So many of us make New Year's resolutions, which in and of themselves are not a bad thing. But many of these resolutions are based in our own fear that somehow we aren't good enough, that our bodies, our homes, our children, our jobs, our faith, our lives aren't good enough. So if we can just get control over these things, right, by organizing our stuff, or losing weight, or yelling at our kids less, or balancing a budget, or getting more people to come to church, we'll be good enough to deserve the joy that is intended for our lives. You know what? We don't need a new year to remind us that we live in a world that is riddled by choices people make because they are afraid that they aren't good enough and they don't have the control they think they need to master that fear. We don't need a new year. We need an epiphany. Friends, we don't know the initial response of the fearful people of Jerusalem that day. We know what they know, that the light shines and nothing will ever be the same. What we need and what we celebrate this day is that God's love and light are so much
bigger and brighter than we ever thought. And that while our life and our faith may be at times much harder than we had bargained for, God will keep coming to us and shining in our lives. The darkness will not overcome the light. By hearing this story with fresh ears and open hearts, we too can be assured that we are not alone in our own fears. And the light of Christ shines in our life, and we aren't sure what it means. It shines when our gifts feel buried beneath the piles of the scratchy straw, and we aren't sure how to uncover them. The light shines. When strange people show up in our lives and we don't know what to make of them, the light shines. When political and social powers feel oppressively unjust and we don't know the best way to respond, the light shines. When we are afraid, with all of those who feel like they don't deserve the joy intended for our lives, the light shines. We are not alone in this story, in our story, in God's story. The darkness shall cover the earth, but the Lord will rise upon us. Thanks be.
Thank you. we come on this journey in faith, and you are invited, bringing our lives fragile and holy. There is a place for everyone at this table. It is our Savior who invites those who trust him to share the feast which he has prepared. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. May the Lord of light be with you.
And also with you.
Our hearts are ablaze,
shining with God's love.
Let us come and kneel down once more,
giving thanks for this gift.
God of grace, from age to age, you infuse every particle of the universe with wonder. From age to age, you surround every form of life with love. From age to age, you call to every corner of creation with promise. Some travelers once journeyed together beneath the fiery star of wonder and royal light to seek the treasure of their hearts. Kneeling in a stable, they found the gift they sought. In this Epiphany season, we also set out seeking signs of your presence and remembering how this child of Bethlehem broke bounds of oppression to pour our compassion for all. The song of our hearts longs for you too. Guide us to thy perfect life.
We remember your call for our lives to follow your light in the world. While we do not always understand what it means to travel down a different path, we go as your disciples, learning from your life and teaching. We also remember a final meal, where bread and cup were blessed and shared with new meaning. Here is life. Here is promise. You are my beloved. Here we are sharing in your story and your light.
We remember your life, your words, your love. As we share this bread and cup, we open ourselves to the strength and brightness of this love. Amen.
And we give thanks that Jesus, having faith in those who gathered them around a very similar table, and on the night before he gave himself to the authorities for his death, that they might remember and know how God's bread gives strength. And he took the common bread and made it holy, just as he takes common people and makes us holy. To remember, he asks us to repeat his act again and again, as he did, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me."
And in the same way, he took his cup and poured wine into it. And he said, "This is a sign of the new covenant. Drink, remembering me."
We break this bread and we drink from this cup, giving thanks for the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, for the promise of new life, for the faith to hope anew. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us celebrate together. This is the body of Christ, broken and shared for each of us.
Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. Drink, remembering me.
Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for making this no ordinary meal. It has been one in which we have been fed and nourished with your life.
May we go from here refreshed and eager to share your light with others. Amen.
I invite you to share your prayers of concerns and your prayers of joy.
Sally Christensen, I had to keep my lips sealed until after Christmas time, but I am so excited to announce that Steve and I are going to be grandparents in June. Our son Matt and his wife Ortal are expecting.
Congratulations. Joanne Vander, Ed and I'd like to thank the congregation for all their prayers and cards, and especially Carol Ann and Melissa for a beautiful service they did for Ed's brother last night.
Jenny Smith, I'd like prayers for my nephew, age 47, who's been diagnosed with esophageal cancer and liver cancer. Please pray for him. His name is Bill Snyder. Thank you.
Marge Westfall, I've been asked by Everett Hadley's daughter. A lot of you people maybe would remember Everett. He was a longtime member in this church. He is now in Rochester General Hospital. He's had a few slight strokes and just had an operation on a vein in his neck. I'm sure he'd love to hear from any of you that remember him.
Paula Sousa, I'd like you to join me in wishing this young man a happy birthday next Saturday. John will be 80 years old.
Happy birthday. John.
Fran Perrell, Bob and I visited Virginia Quimby at Highland Hospital. We're asking for prayers for her. She has pneumonia.
Carol Balsley, continued prayers for the two firefighters who lost their lives, their friends and their family. Chip Ciparini was my niece's nephew, and she asked for your prayers.
We also want to remember in our prayers today Tom Ward, whose father died this week, and also Rena Bills, whose son David, who was an active member of this church, also died this weekend.
We also have our prayers of joy and concern for our children this morning. Prayers of sympathy for Tom and his family in the passing of his father. Prayers of joy for sledding. And prayers for our grandma since she hurt her back. And prayers of joy for all the grandmas and grandpas.
Let us pray. God of eternal light, like the wise men, we come with joy, for we've met the Christ child. We've experienced the radiant life that promises hope, love, peace, and joy. As we journey from the manger, help us to travel with a determination to be transformed by the light we have found. Grant us wisdom to know that Christmas is not just a season, but instead as a way of life. Open us to the sacred epiphanies of each day, of each place, of every person with whom we encounter. Guide us to places in our world that need your light. Show us how to shine your love in places of poverty, in areas of sickness, in dwellings of despair, and in homes of grief. And this morning we pray for those in our congregation who know the recent pain of losing loved ones. For the Ward family, as they grieve the loss of Tom's father. For Rena Bills, as she grieves the loss of her son David. For the Vander family, as they grieve the loss of Ed's brother. And as we begin a new year, focus us. Grant us clarity as to your will. Show us how we can be your people, your church. Hear us now, as together we pray the prayer our Lord taught his disciples.
Our Father,
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let us bring our guests forward.
Great God, we offer these gifts to you with thankful hearts. We pray that you use them as powerful tools as we live out the mission of our church to serve our community and to serve the world. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
And friends, we go into the darkness of this world with the light of Christ shining in each of our hearts. So arise, shine. Let God's love shine through your life, now and always. Amen.